It is good to be here at Fairhaven Baptist Church. I've always enjoyed being here and preaching. I'm getting older, though, and I do know that there'll come a time when Brother Dameron or whoever is the pastor will say, you know, that guy's getting kind of old. Let's not have him preach anymore. But I'm glad you at least asked me this time, and I'll get to at least have one more shot at you. But you never know when you might get so forgetful that you'll be telling the same illustrations all the time, and you preach the same sermon over, you know, one that you've never heard before, and then but you did hear it about 3 months ago when I was here, something like that. Do you know, I always appreciate the opportunity to speak here and pray that I'll be a blessing and a help to you and speak about something that'll be uplifting to you and convicting possibly and helpful if you're new and you don't know the Lord as your Savior. I pray that today will be that day of all days where you'll repent of your sins and trust Christ as your Savior. I do pray a lot for Fairhaven and Fairhaven Church family. And many of you, I call on the name of the Lord and pray for you personally, including Brother Dameron. Every day I pray for you, Brother Dameron. And and I'll continue, of course, praying for all of you. It's wonderful to be able to see God using Fairhaven Baptist Church after all of these years. And it's interesting that y'all are still on the same path that you ought to be on. And I pray that you'll stay there. But usually 40 years is about the length of a good Christian college. And after about 40 years, they get backslidden, get away from God, and start going contemporary and doing stuff like that. And I pray that you all will just stay right in there and keep right on going and keep right on being what God wants you to be and do that. I try to, whenever I preach here, you know, I have two or three what you'd call sugar stick sermons, but I've preached all those here. And so every time I preach here, I have to write new sermons. Because I have a few sugar stick of those kind of sermons, and then I have a whole bunch of them that I don't think are very much good, and so I have to write new ones. And today I'm going to be preaching on something that I'm sure it's been preached on here many, many times, and a little bit in a lot of messages about it, but I feel that this is what God wanted me to preach on, and you always want to do what God leads you to do, and I want to preach on the subject of hell today. You know, in Luke chapter 16, we want to turn there to start with and want to read a passage of Scripture in Luke chapter 16, and hopefully there will be quite a bit of Scripture in the message today. Actually, I'll be using 13 different books of the Bible. I'm not going to preach through the total 13 books, but in Luke chapter 16 is where we want to start. And verse number 19 says, there was a certain rich man, which was clothed in purple and fine linen, and fared sumptuously every day. And there was a certain beggar named Lazarus, which was laid at his gate full of sores, and desiring to be fed with the crumbs which fell from the rich man's table. Moreover, the dogs came and licked his sores, and it came to pass that the beggar died, and was carried by the angels into Abraham's bosom. The rich man also died and was buried, and in hell he lift up his eyes, being in torments, and seeth Abraham far off, and Lazarus in his bosom. And he cried and said, Father Abraham, have mercy on me, and send Lazarus, that he may dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue, for I am tormented in this flame. But Abraham said, Son, remember that thou in thy lifetime receivest thy good things, and likewise Lazarus evil things. But now he is comforted, and thou art tormented. And besides all this, between us and you there is a great gulf fixed, so that they which would pass from hence to you cannot, neither can they pass to us that would come from thence. Then he said, I pray thee therefore, Father, that thou wouldest send him to my father's house, for I have five brethren, that he may testify unto them, lest they also come to this place of torment. Abraham saith unto him, they have Moses and the prophets, let them hear them. And he said, Nay, Father Abraham, but if one went to them unto them from the dead, they will repent. And he said unto him, if they hear not Moses and the prophets, neither will they be persuaded, though one rose from the dead. Heavenly Father, I ask you this morning, Lord, to please speak to our hearts. I pray, Lord, that you would help me as I preach today, that you'd help me to leave out anything you don't want me to say and to preach everything you want me to say. And I pray, Lord, that you would touch every heart here. Those that are lost, I pray that they would be spoken to by the Holy Spirit of God and drawn to thee today. Lord, I pray that every saved person here would get something that would be a help to them in their lives also. Lord, I pray that your blessings would be upon the message, and please answer this request. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Do you know there's a lot of scripture in the Bible about hell? Actually, there's more scripture in the Bible about hell than there is about heaven. In Isaiah chapter 14, verse 15, it says, "Yet thou shalt be brought down to hell to the sides of the pit." Revelation 20, verse number 4 says, "And death and hell were cast into the lake of fire." This is the second death. Proverbs 9:15, "But he knoweth not that the dead are there, and that her guests are in the depths of hell." Revelation 1:18, "I am he that liveth and was dead, and behold, I am alive forevermore. Amen, and have the keys of hell and death." Deuteronomy 32:22, "For fire is kindled in mine anger and shall burn into the lowest hell." Ezekiel 32, verse 21, "The strong among the mighty shall speak to him out of the midst of hell with them that help him. They are gone down, they lie uncircumcised, slain by the sword." Matthew 5, verse number 30, "And if thy right hand offend thee, cut it off and cast it from thee, for it is profitable for thee that one of thy members should perish, and not that thy whole body should be cast into hell." Matthew 10:28, "And fear not them which kill the body, but are not able to kill the soul, but rather fear him which is able to destroy both soul and body in hell." Matthew 18:9, "And if thine eye offend thee, pluck it out and cast it from thee. It is better for thee to enter into life with one eye rather than having two eyes to be cast into hell." Matthew 23:15, "Woe unto you, scribes, Pharisees, hypocrites, for ye compass the sea," or compass the sea and land, "to make one proselyte. But when he is made, you make him twofold more a child of hell than yourselves." Mark 9:45, "And if thy foot offend thee, cut it off. It is better for thee to enter into life, enter halt into life, than having 2 feet to be cast into hell, into the fire that shall never be quenched." Revelation 20, verse number 13, "And the sea gave up the dead which were in it, and death and hell delivered up the dead which were in them, and they were judged every man according to their works." Matthew 13:42, "And shall cast them into the furnace of fire. There shall be weeping and wailing and gnashing of teeth." Jude 23, "And others, save with fear, pulling them out of the fire, hating even the garment spotted by the flesh." Revelation 14:10, "The same shall drink of the wine of the wrath of God, which is poured out without mixture into the cup of his indignation. And he shall be tormented with fire and brimstone in the presence of the holy angels and in the presence of the Lamb." Revelation 19, verse 20, "And the beast was taken, and with him the false prophet that wrought miracles before him, with which he deceived them that had received the mark of the beast and them that worshipped his image. These both were cast alive into the lake of fire, burning with brimstone." Revelation 20, verse number 10, "And the devil that deceived them was cast into the lake of fire and brimstone, where the beast and the false prophet are, and shall be tormented day and night forever and ever." Matthew 25:46, "And these shall go away into everlasting punishment, but the righteous into eternal life," life eternal. Jude, verse 7, "Even as Sodom and Gomorrah and the cities about them in like manner, giving themselves over to fornication and going after strange flesh, are set forth for an example, suffering the vengeance of eternal life." You know, the devil fights anytime you're going to preach a message on a subject like this. There are three worlds in existence today. One is the earth that we live on, right here. The other is heaven, the place where our Lord is preparing a place for us for eternity if you're born again by the blood of Christ. And the third place is hell. The Bible literally teaches us about hell. The Bible teaches actually a lot about hell. And if you're going to say that you believe the Bible, then you must believe that there's a place the Bible describes as hell. You say, well, I believe the Bible, but I don't believe about hell. No, no, no. You don't believe the Bible if you don't believe that there's a hell and if you don't believe that it's real. Modern scholars, they do not believe that there's any place called hell. Actually, Pope Francis just made a statement just recently, and he said in 2018, those who do not repent and therefore cannot be forgiven disappear. There is no hell. There is the disappearance of sinful souls. That's what the Pope said. And it's interesting, you know, if people don't want to believe something, they just say, oh, I don't believe that. But guess what? It doesn't make it not so. The Bible teaches that there's a hell and it's real, and the Bible, whether you believe it or not. Do you know that I've read, and there's all kinds of different statistics. I've read where only 71% of the people in the United States believe in hell. I read another survey that said only 32% of the people in America believe in hell. But I came across this statistic that only 5 people in 1,000 people believe that they're going to go to hell. Only 5 people in 1,000. It's going to be a lot more than that go to hell, because the Bible says, narrow is the way that leads to life everlasting, and few there be that go thereat. And broad is the way that leads to destruction, and many there be that find it. You know, it's very interesting that no modern scholars believed in the flood. But there's plenty of proof in the world today of the flood being worldwide. A lot of people did not believe in Sodom and Gomorrah, but then they've done a lot of digging around over in that area, and they found Sodom. And they say an educated person does not believe in hell. But if an educated person does not believe in hell, then he is just an educated fool, according to the Word of God. If you're too modern to believe the Bible, then you're too modern for God. And the Bible says that if you don't have Christ in your heart, if you're not born again, you'll go to that place called hell. And you'll be there forever and ever and ever. Hell is a literal place where people go and who die in their sins, and they'll be there forever. I brought some water over here, Walter, somewhere. Oh, there it is. Okay. You know, when you get older, you forget where you put stuff. I do that all the time, and I wake up in nightmares thinking that I am supposed to be preaching somewhere, and I can't find my Bible, and I'm looking all over the place, and that's really like a nightmare to me. But hell is a literal place. It says in the Bible, it says in Isaiah 14:15, yet thou shalt be brought down to hell to the sides of the pit. Revelation 24, and death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. And he says, the wicked shall be turned into hell, and all the nations that forget God. Matthew 23:33, ye serpents, ye generation of vipers, how can you escape the damnation of hell? Isaiah 5:14, therefore hell hath enlarged herself and opened her mouth without measure, and their glory and their multitude and their pomp, and he that rejoiceth shall ascend into it. 2 Peter 2:4, for God spared not the angels that sinned, but cast them down to hell and delivered them into the chains of darkness to be reserved unto judgment. Matthew 5:29, and if thy right eye offend thee, pluck it out and cast it from thee, for it is profitable for thee that one of thy members should perish, and not that thy whole body should be cast into hell. Luke 12:5, but I will forewarn you whom ye shall fear. Fear him which after he hath killed hath power to cast into hell. Yea, and I say unto you, fear him. Matthew 5:22. But I say unto you that whosoever is angry with his brother without a cause shall be in danger of the judgment. Whosoever shall say to his brother, Raca, shall be in danger of the council. But whosoever shall say, thou fool, shall be in danger of hell fire. In Matthew 13:50, and shall cast them into the furnace of fire. There shall be wailing and gnashing of teeth. Revelation 20:15, and whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. Matthew 5:15-41, then shall he say unto them also unto them on the left hand, depart from me, ye cursed, into everlasting fire prepared for the devil and his angels. 2 Thessalonians 1:7-9. And to you who were troubled, rest with us when the Lord Jesus shall be revealed from heaven with his mighty angels in flaming fire, taking vengeance on them that know not God and that obey not the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ, who shall be punished with everlasting destruction from the presence of the Lord and from the glory of his power. There's a lot of scripture in the Word of God about hell. It says, then shall he say to them on the left hand, depart from me, ye cursed, into everlasting fire, prepared for the devil and his angels. Do you know, before the world was created, there was a heaven. And God lived in heaven and had fellowship with the angels. There were three major angels in heaven: Gabriel, Michael, and Lucifer. And these each had approximately one-third of the angels in heaven that were under their authority. And Lucifer, the devil, rebelled against God and wanted to exalt himself above God. And so God expelled him from heaven, immediately prepared a place for the devil, which was heaven, or which was hell. Matthew 5:41, they were cast into everlasting fire prepared for the devil and his angels. In the book of Isaiah chapter 14, it says, how art thou fallen from heaven, O Lucifer, son of the morning? How art thou cut down to the ground, which did weaken the nations? For thou hast said in thine heart, I will ascend into heaven. I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. I will sit also upon the mount of the congregation in the sides of the north. I will ascend above the high heights of the clouds. I will be like the Most High. Yet thou shalt be brought down to hell, to the sides of the pit. That's what Lord said. Hell was not made for you and I. It was made for the devil and his angels. But the Bible says that hell has enlarged itself to make room for all of those who would reject Christ and not be born again. Many preachers do not believe in hell, but that doesn't change the fact that hell is real. You know that a preacher that does not believe in hell is not sweet and kind when he gets up and gives his platitudes to his people. He is wicked and ungodly, not to tell you the truth. A good preacher will tell you the truth and tell you what's on the horizon and that hell is coming for those who reject Christ. The best friend that you have is the preacher that tells you the truth of the Word of God and mentions to you quite often that you must be born again. You must have Christ in your heart. You must, or else you're going to go to hell without Christ. I don't care how smart you are. I don't care how many degrees you have. I don't care how influential you are, that you'll go to hell for eternity unless you've been born again. It's interesting that I read the news periodically and I see all these different famous people that they advertise, you know, whenever they die. They put so-and-so died and he was 37. So-and-so died and he was 81. So-and-so died and he was, and it tells you the age and so on. And many of those people I had heard of, but I thought, wow, they didn't take any of that money that they had with them. They didn't take right now they wish that they had repented and trusted Christ and so on. Now, where in the world is hell? Well, the Bible seems to indicate that hell is down. Hell is down. I kind of believe that it's in the heart of the earth. Heaven is up. I believe that heaven is up, but hell is in the heart of the earth. It says in Revelation 9:2, he opened the bottomless pit, and there arose smoke out of the pit as the smoke of a great furnace. You may belong to a church, you may have been baptized, even at Fairhaven Baptist Church, but if you're not born again, you cannot see the kingdom of God. And you'll spend an eternity without God in the place the Bible describes as hell. You say, what does the Bible say about hell? Well, I've given you a bunch of verses about it, but in the book of Revelation, chapter 20, verse number 11, it says, "And I saw a great white throne, and him that sat on it, from whose face the earth and the heaven fled away, and there was found no place for them. And I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God, and the books were opened, and another book was opened, which is the book of life, and the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the books, according to their works. And the sea gave up the dead which were in them, and death and hell delivered the dead which were in them, and they were judged every man according to their works, and death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death, and whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire." Now, I don't know where you got your belief that there wasn't a hell if you don't believe that there's a hell, but the Bible, I've just given you a bunch of verses from the Word of God that tell you that there is a hell. It's a burning place. It's a place that you don't want to go to. And death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. How could God get more plain than something like that? You know, I have a little torch right here, and I challenge any of you, come up and stick your finger in that flame for, oh, say 5 seconds. I've heard lost people tell me, they say, I think I'll go to hell where all of my friends are. Guess what? You're not going to have any friends in hell, but if there was some idiot that was stupid enough to come up and put his finger in there for 5 seconds, I'm not going to say, he's my buddy, so I'm going to do it too. I say, he may be nuts, but I'm not quite as nuts as he is. I'm not putting my finger in that thing. And folks, listen, people that say that they would like to go to hell with their friends, you're an idiot. You're stupid. That's not, you don't have any brains. I mean, why in the world would you want to do that? If somebody had cancer, you say, I wish I would get cancer for him like he's got. I've never heard anybody say that. Why in the world would you want to go jump in a fire? That's really, really crazy, isn't it? Do you know there's going to come a time when the body is going to come out of the grave and it's going to come out of the sea, wherever you happen to die. Maybe you fell overboard. You're maybe one of these days you'll be out in the ocean somewhere and you'll fall overboard and a shark will eat you and spread you over 2,000 miles of ocean before he has you all digested up. You say, that fixed me. No, whenever the rapture takes place, if you're saved, boom. It's no problem to God. No problem to God at all. But if you're going to go to hell, your body will raise up and reunite with your soul and you'll spend an eternity in hell. It's interesting. The Bible even tells you how long hell is going to last. Forever. Forever. And it says, and the smoke of their torment ascendeth up forever and ever, Revelation 14, 11. And they have no rest day nor night who worship the beast and his image and whosoever receiveth the mark of his name. You know, who will be suffering in hell? Well, I don't want anybody to go to hell. I'd like anybody here that's not saved to be born again today so you wouldn't go to hell. But let me just tell you something. You don't know when you're going to die, and if you're not born again, then you're not very smart. You don't have very much in the upstairs department if you don't come to the altar pretty soon here when an invitation's given and trust the Lord Jesus as your Savior to keep from going to this place called hell that the Bible teaches us about. It ought to be the motivating power of every Christian to really believe in hell, so that they would tell their friends and their relatives and their loved ones and co-workers and so on and their neighbors and about Jesus, so that you could win them to Christ and keep them from going to that lake of fire. Mark chapter 9, verse 43, and if thy hand offend thee, cut it off. God is saying, you need to make some decisions about your life and realize how important it is to live for God and put God first in your life. It is better for thee to enter into life maimed than having two hands to go into hell and into the fire that there shall never be quenched. And he says in Mark chapter 9, verse number 45, and if thy foot offend thee, cut it off. It's better for thee to enter and halt into life than having 2 feet to be cast into hell, into the fire that shall never be quenched. Mark 9:47, if thy I offend thee, pluck it out. Better for thee to enter into the kingdom of God with one eye than having two eyes and be cast into hell fire. Do you know, Matthew chapter 25, verse number 41, it says, then shall I say unto them on the left hand, depart from me, ye cursed, into everlasting fire, prepared for the devil and his angels. Revelation 20, verse number 15, and whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. Revelation 21, verse number 8, but the fearful and the unbelieving and the abominable and murderers and whoremongers and sorcerers and idolaters and all liars shall have their part in the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. Luke 16, verse 24, Father Abraham, have mercy on me and send Lazarus that he may dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue, for I am tormented in this flame. If you have not trusted Christ as your Savior, I plead with you, receive him today. The only way that you're going to escape hell is to be born again by the blood of Christ. It's not going to be by getting baptized, even if you get baptized 20 times. It's not by giving money to the church, though I think that it's good to give money to your local New Testament Bible-believing church. But you're not going to get to heaven that way. It's by being born again by the blood of Christ. Matthew 22, verse 12, and he saith unto them, friend, how camest thou in hither, not having a wedding garment? And he was speechless, and said to the king of the servants, said the king to the servants, bind him hand and foot, take him away, and cast him into outer darkness. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. It's interesting that hell is going to be dark. And do you know that brimstone burns dark? Doesn't need any light. Brimstone. That's interesting when you think about that. Suffering in hell forever in darkness. Weeping. Gnashing of teeth. Where their worm dieth not. Their worm dieth not is talking about the conscience. Where your conscience dies not, you'll be remembering probably word for word, even if you slept through half of it, of this message I'm preaching this morning. You'll remember all of those scriptures that were given to you that you should have repented and trusted the Lord as your personal Savior. You'll remember all songs that we've sung about our Savior. You'll remember those in eternity. It's where your conscience will bring up the times that your friend or your relative or your loved one or the preacher or somebody came by, or the bus worker came by and knocked on your door or talked to you about the Savior, and you rejected Christ and never got born again. Revelation 22:11 says, he that is unjust, let him be unjust still. And he which is filthy, let him be filthy still. He that is righteous, let him be righteous still. And he that is holy, let him be holy still. You know, the interesting thing and the good thing is you don't have to go to hell. God made a way so any one of you could get saved. Anybody. He's not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. God didn't pick out and say, well, I think I'll get him saved and him saved and him saved and the rest of you guys can go to hell. No. God says, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. He said he died for the whole world when he shed his blood on Calvary's cross. Jesus paid it all, and all to him we owe. I don't have to go to hell because in 1969, on March the 21st, I repented and asked Jesus into my heart to be my Savior. I was tired of being a fake. I said, I'm going to get born again by the blood of Christ today. And I did. And I don't have to worry about going to hell, this place that I've been talking about all morning so far here. I would ask you, wouldn't you come to Jesus today? The Bible says in the book of Romans said that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. It's very interesting. I said that backwards because it says if thou Romans 10 verse 9, that if thou shalt believe in thine heart that, I've said that verse 10,000 times to myself. And to other people too. But says that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. And do you know that there's other verses? That's the devil turning the PA system off so you wouldn't hear that part. And I didn't know you had the devil working in a PA room, but who knows? But do you know what you need to do is repent of your sins and trust Christ as your Savior today. Be the greatest thing that you ever did. And the worst thing that you could ever do is not get saved. I wonder if we could have every head bowed for a moment, please, and every eye closed. No one looking around.